Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 23rd, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We are ready to get into the contrasting verse. Verse 7, we had the believer living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. In verse 8, we have the contrast, the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A couple of things. This Saturday, the evangelism team will be going to Child Haven. We haven't been allowed to be there with COVID for a couple of years. And so I encourage you to pray for our evangelism team, that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands, to be used by Him. Pray that the gospel is given clearly and accurately. Pray that God will draw by His hand of grace all the adults and the children that are supposed to be there, and that this might be an opportunity for many sons to be brought into glory. That is this Saturday. And so encourage you and your... It's number one on your prayer list, and blue letters even, Debbie, put it on there so you can see it. Last night's class, we were studying about worry, the doctrine of worry. And we noted from the Word of God that we are commanded to stop worrying about anything. If you are a believer without Bible doctrine, if you're a believer that's living in the cosmic system, you worry about everything. If you watch the news, there's nothing to watch in the news that you can't worry about if you don't have Bible doctrine. And this article by Hal Lindsey is a great thing to follow up what we had in last night's class on worry. We noted Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. We saw 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your worries on Him, because He cares for you. And in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, which says, stop worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition after thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. The steadfast of mind, that is the believer with maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. That's what we studied last night, and that verse, in the Lord Jesus Christ we have an everlasting rock. That is a great introduction to what Hal Lindsey was writing about, the news and the good news. You may have seen the meme that says, I checked Kelley Blue Book today for my car's value, and it asked me if the tank was full or empty. Like all good jokes, the humor is rooted in truth. As of June 2022, the average price of a gallon of gasoline had doubled since January 2021. That's a staggering rate of growth and completely unsustainable. For a lot of people in Washington, it's just a matter of politics. But for the rest of us, it's about life. Can you imagine what this does to a single mom or dad struggling to get by? Think of what it does to an elderly person living on a fixed income when he or she spends almost $100 or probably more for a tank of gas. For one thing, it leaves less money to buy food, the cost of which is also going through the roof. The cost of everything is going up fast, and it looks like that trend will continue. The Federal Reserve's response seems to be to take the nation into a recession to try and stop the inflation. But that's a little bit like killing a patient to get his blood pressure down. Yes, death is an absolute cure for high blood pressure, but it seems a little extreme. Somehow, they have to try to keep the economy moving forward while also getting inflation under control. Meanwhile, the stock market has been going down, real estate values have been falling, retail sales are in decline, and it looks like there will be increasing global shortages of everything from food to the fertilizers needed to grow that food. With stocks down, 401k and other investments are down among not just the rich, but for ordinary, regular people. This is forcing many to delay long-planned retirements. All that's bad news. Bad news for the United States. But it's also bad news for the world economy. Planet Earth finds itself in an increasingly desperate financial situation. And that's just one facet of the global condition. We could look at any number of other topics that are also discouraging or even depressing. But these things are merely the news. And the news changes day by day. But the good news in Christ Jesus never changes. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, God is faithful. His faithfulness does not fluctuate with the markets. His faithfulness is like a great rock, solid, dependable, something you can safely build on. His faithfulness does not change, but will remain eternally constant. That's why I wanted to start with what we studied last night. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. 2 Corinthians 1:20, just two verses down, the Bible says, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. His promises do not depend on who occupies the White House or who sits on the Supreme Court. They depend only on the trustworthiness of Almighty God and the efficacy of the blood Jesus shed on the cross to save us from sin. When you hear the wind howling and the surf pounding, remember that if you are building your life on the firm foundation of Jesus and His Word, He will care for you no matter what comes. The storms of life will pound into ruin those structures that are built on sand. Jesus warned about the dangers of building on unstable things. That is, building on anything less than Him and His Word. But He also gave comfort to all who build their lives on Him. In Matthew 7, 24 and 25, He said, whoever hears these teachings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So that was an addendum to last night's class. 1 John chapter 3. You're starting to get the hang of John, the apostle. We all recognize how great the apostle Paul was. The apostle John was right up there. And the Apostle John was actually the favorite disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ liked to spend time with, that he liked to watch football on TV with. Well, not professional football anymore, that sucks. But every once in a while, a good college game, or go watch Hunter play football. That's good football. And John was 100% right on concentrating, listening, learning everything that Jesus Christ taught. He metabolized it and it was in here. He even used the very same vocabulary that the Lord Jesus Christ used in His teaching. And that's why, and we look at John, he has some vocabulary that's the exact same vocabulary that Jesus Christ used in His teaching of the disciples. He used the verb meno, M-E-N, long O, to abide, to remain, to stay. And this is used to describe the spiritual life. The first one to live the unique spiritual life with Jesus Christ in His true humanity, in His hypostatic union. And then that unique spiritual life was given to every member of the royal family of God in the church age. Never given before in history. First time was Jesus Christ and then us. Because we need it. We live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And therefore, the attack is on every one of you, every believer in the church age. That never happened before. In the Old Testament, it was on the line of Christ. First Advent, it was on Jesus Christ himself. With the resurrection, ascension, and session, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack of Satan is on the body of Christ. Every church age believer. And so God in his infinite and matchless grace gave us this unique spiritual life. And if you live this unique spiritual life by divine power, the spiritual skills, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart, then you will be more than conquerors in this invisible war. And you will glorify God to the maximum. And John used this word meno, to abide, to describe this spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. John also used another, the first was a verb, this is a noun, agape. A-G-A-P-E. This is the word for virtue love. Jesus Christ taught this over and over and over. John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. John 13. John 15, he taught it again and again. And the Apostle John got that, and there's nobody that covers virtue love like the Apostle John does. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. He's just getting warmed up right now. And so in verse 6, we have the believer living the spiritual life. Anyone who abides in him, that's the abiding life. That's living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. He is not sinning. You're not sinning while you're living the spiritual life. Then the contrast on the last half of the verse is the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor knowing him. Now that's the first contrast in one verse, verse 6. Then in verse 7, we have the believer living the spiritual life throughout verse 7. And then in verse 8, we have the believer living in the cosmic system. Verse 7, little children, that is teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness, maximum grace righteous production from living the spiritual life. He is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer, just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was grace righteous, spiritually mature in his true humanity. And verse 7, little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The word to deceive is planao, and it literally means to lead astray or to cause someone to wander. Figuratively, as it's used in our verse, it means to mislead or to deceive. The ones doing the deceiving are the devil's disciples. Believers who are living in Satan's cosmic system. As the ruler of this world, one of Satan's main strategies is deception and lies. Satan is the greatest deceiver of history. And to be such a deceiver, the devil must be the greatest and most effective liar in history. John 8:44. The MO of the believer living in the cosmic system is deception and lies. When Satan is the mentor of the believer in the cosmic system, that believer's MO is to also lie and deceive, just like his mentor. These believers become the agents of the devil, and that's coming up in verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. Satan works through such believers who have become his agents, and their MO is to deceive and lie. And sadly, many times these believers are your friends and loved ones living in Satan's cosmic system. Little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. John is saying, do not let these disciples of the devil, these believers living in Satan's cosmic system, do not let them deceive you. They thought they could do these things and still be in fellowship with God, that they could still be a great believer. The rationalization of sin and living in Satan's cosmic system is an old, old habit of loser believers and sinful humanity that is witnessed throughout human history. They would rather rationalize their sins and living in the cosmic system than live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. In order not to be deceived, therefore, the believer must know and believe that the one who practices righteousness is righteous. He is a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was grace righteous, spiritual maturity in his true humanity. The issue is that God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is a holy God. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills brings the believer to spiritual maturity, grace righteousness. And the result of that is maximum grace righteous production that glorifies God to the maximum. The spiritual life is a life of sacred honor, integrity, virtue, grace righteousness. And the winner believer puts on the uniform of sacred honor. Little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who performs or does righteousness, maximum grace righteous production, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer, just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is grace righteous. The unique spiritual life of the church age is the life of sacred honor, virtue, integrity, grace righteousness. Grace righteousness or spiritual maturity is only attained by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union lived this unique spiritual life and advanced the spiritual maturity in his true humanity, becoming a grace righteous believer. And this resulted in maximum grace righteous production in his life. The believer with positive volition and humility who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skill also advances to spiritual maturity and becomes a grace righteous believer. This also results in maximum grace righteous production in his life. He has fulfilled the royal family honor code, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, having personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and sacred honor. He lives by the royal family honor code, sacred honor, virtue, and integrity. So, again, verse 7, the believer living the spiritual life, the abiding life. Now, verse 8, in contrast, now we have the believer living in the cosmic system. 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. This is the articular present active participle of poieo, plus the accusative singular of hamartia with the definite article, plus the present active indicative of eimi, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of diabolos with the definite article. Once again, the verb poieo means to do. To do, basically, or to commit. Here, he's doing or committing sins, so it means to commit sins or to be guilty of sins. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun, and it can be translated the one who does sin, or the one who commits sin, or the one who is guilty of sin. And because personal sin is how you get out of the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system. Hamartia, that's the word for sin. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia, that's the word for sin. It refers here to personal sin. Amy means he is or he has become. And then ek plus the genitive prepositional phrase. Ek plus the genitive, looks like that in the Greek and in the English, denotes origin. Origin or cause or motive or reason. He is of the devil. Literally, he is from the devil. He is an agent of the devil. And the word devil is diabolos. D-I-A-B-O-L-O-S. Diabolos. Now, diabolos is transliterated devil. It literally means the slanderer or accuser. So the correct translation of verse 8 so far, the one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is from the devil. That is, he has become an agent of the devil. He is the devil's disciple. The one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is from the devil. That is, he has become an agent of the devil. He is the devil's disciple. One, when you sin and get out of fellowship with God, it's imperative that you rebound as quickly as possible. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's imperative that you do that as quickly as possible. And then that's the start of recovery. That has to be followed with thousands of good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the agency of the Spirit. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Now that you rebounded, got out of the cosmic system, walk in the light. Stop walking in darkness. There's a lot of Christians that all they do, they are nothing but a stupid yo-yo. They're in fellowship, out of fellowship, in fellowship, out of fellowship, in, out, in, out, in, out. They have no spiritual life. They are nothing but yo-yos. When you rebound, then you need to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Good decisions, good decisions, good decisions, good decisions. But we got a lot of Christians that they know enough that about rebound that they will, well, not very quickly, but eventually they'll rebound and get back in fellowship. But almost immediately they're right back out again. And they never, ever, ever advance to maturity. They never become a grace righteous believer. They are the problem. They're not the solution. So when you sin and get out of fellowship with God, it's imperative that you rebound as quickly as possible. Two, it's imperative that you keep short accounts with God. It's imperative that you keep short accounts with God. Three, the believer who sins and does not rebound will remain in the cosmic system, and he is no longer motivated for consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. The believer who sins and does not rebound will remain in the cosmic system, and he is no longer motivated for consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Four, in the cosmic system, he has no spiritual life. In the cosmic system, he has no spiritual life, and he does not live by the spiritual skills. Five, he becomes negative toward Bible doctrine. He becomes negative toward Bible doctrine. Six, now he is living his life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. Now he is living his life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. Blackout of the soul, followed by scar tissue of the heart. Seven, he is not only in reversionism, but he is also becoming the devil's disciple. He is not only in reversionism, but he is also becoming the devil's disciple. Eight. He is no longer a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he has become the devil's disciple. He is no longer a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has now become the devil's disciple. Nine. The believer living in the cosmic system serves the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul taught in Romans 1. The believer living in the cosmic system serves the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. 10. He becomes an agent of the devil. He becomes an agent of the devil, a cosmic evangelist. and lures his friends, his Christian friends, out of the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system. He becomes an agent of the devil, a cosmic evangelist, and lures his Christian friends out of the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system. This was going on in the congregation, John's congregation, and he described them as chapter 2, Antichrist believers. And we studied that. 11. Most born-again believers in the United States today are the agents of the devil. They're Christians. They're saved. They're going to be in heaven forever and ever. But most born-again believers in the United States today are agents of the devil. All those involved in the tongues movement, they are the devil's agent. All those involved in liberalism and socialism, they are the devil's agent. All those involved with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they are the devil's agents. All those involved with who are anti the laws of divine establishment, who attack law enforcement, want to defund the police, or attack the military, they are agents of the devil. All of this, I can't even, we went over to Al's place to celebrate our divine institution. They had a dinner, and Al's putting on sporting events because he knows I like sports. They had the Las Vegas Aces women's basketball team playing a team from Minnesota, and the coach and all the players have on Black Lives Matter shirts on them. And I go, I can't repeat everything because of the dignity of the clergy. I sure as hell am not going to watch that anymore. You know who started Black Lives Matter? Marxism, Marxists. It's the result of Marxism, communism, and their objective is to destroy America. And the ones who started it, they're multimillionaires living in multi-million dollar mansions in Florida. You ought to just look and study. Black Lives, that is so, what does that do? All that does is cause division. That just causes division and fighting and shooting and killing. Hell, all lives matter. I could start a new movement. Norwegian lives matter. Not Swedish lives, just Norwegian lives. 10,000 Swedes ran through the weed, chased by one Norwegian. My dad raised me on that, see. All lives matter. All you're doing is causing division, factions, fighting, shooting, killing, by even stating that or wearing that. You are the problem. You're the problem. You're not the solution to anything. And you are the devil's disciple. You know, I just don't want you to think I'm sitting on the fence on this. May I make myself clear? The one who commits sin, who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple. He is an agent of the devil. One, when you sin, you are not only out of fellowship with God, but you are also no longer filled with the Spirit. You're not empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the filling of the Spirit. When you are empowered, living the spiritual life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that's what's produced in you and through you. You can't do this. You can't produce it. Only God, the Holy Spirit, produces that when you're in fellowship. But when you sin, you're not only out of fellowship with God, but you also are no longer filled with the Spirit. Two, now you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and or quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20. And that means you no longer have a spiritual life. You no longer have a spiritual life. You're no different than an unbeliever. Three, you have, from your own free will, chosen to depart from the spiritual life and enter into Satan's cosmic system. You, from your own free will, have chosen to depart from the spiritual life and enter into Satan's cosmic system. Four, you are no longer living in the light. Now you're living in darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You're no longer living in light. The spiritual life, you're living in light. Satan's cosmic system, you're living in darkness. Five, the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent, recruiting you into Satan's cosmic system. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent, recruiting you into Satan's cosmic system. Six, the old sin nature provides the temptation. But your volition must say yes to the temptation to sin. The old sin nature provides the temptation, but temptation is not a sin. Your volition must say yes to the temptation to sin. Seven, when your volition says yes to the temptation and you sin, that results in automatic departure from the spiritual life. Automatic departure from the spiritual life and automatic entrance into Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When your volition says yes to the temptation and you sin, that results in automatic departure from the spiritual life and automatic entrance into Satan's cosmic system. Whether it's a sin of ignorance or cognizance, volition is involved in every sin, and therefore ignorance is no excuse. Eight, the old sin nature cannot take control of your soul apart from your human consent. Your volition must say yes to the temptation and then sin. The old sin nature cannot take control of your soul apart from your human consent. Your volition must say yes to the temptation and sin. So as I've told you again and again, there's the greatest word you can have in your vocabulary is no. N-O. No. You're going to have temptations all the time. Real simple. No. Everywhere you go, all that you do, there you're going to have temptation. All you have to do is say no. The one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. This is the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of diabolos with a definite article, plus the present active indicative of hamartano, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive of arche. Hati. H-O-T-I, hati is a causal conjunction. It's correctly translated because. And then we have diabolos used again. And by the way, this is where we get our English word diabolical. Diabolical comes from diabolos. Diabolos is an adjective, but with the definite article, the adjective becomes a substantive. Now it's a noun, as in our verse. The noun diabole means slander. The adjective diabolos, used as a substantive, means the slanderer, specifically the devil. And then we have hamartano. H-A-M-A-R-T-A-N, long O. Hamartano. Hamartano literally means to miss the mark. You're missing the mark of God's absolute standard of divine righteousness. And therefore it means to do wrong. It means to sin against God. The present tense is an historical present. This usage is quite idiomatic and is translated as a simple past, has sinned. The active voice, the devil performed the action of the verb at his first fall. There are three falls of the devil recorded in the Word of God. The devil performed the action of the verb at his first fall. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute fact, absolute truth of history and the Word of God. And then the preposition apa apo apa. Apa indicates origin or source and is correctly translated from the arche, from the beginning. Arche. A-R-C-H, long E, arche. And arche means beginning. So, corrected translation, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. All right, now so far it sounds like this. The one who commits sin is guilty of sin. He is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple. He has become an agent of the devil. Because the devil has sinned from the beginning. One, the devil committed the original sin of any creature. The devil committed the original sin of any creature. He wasn't called the devil at that time. He was called Lucifer. Lucifer, the star of the dawn. We'll see that in a moment here. Two, the scriptures record three falls of Satan. Records three falls of Satan. Three, 1 John 3:8, our verse, refers to the first fall of Satan. because the devil has sinned from the beginning. That is referring to the first fall of Satan. For Satan is the first creature in all of creation to sin. Satan is the first creature in all of creation to sin. Now there are three falls, so let's take a look at those three falls. Point five, the first fall of Satan is first of all recorded in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. This is the five I wills that Satan declared. The five I wills of Satan. So turn over to Isaiah 14. This is the first fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven. This is his first fall. This is Satan's first fall. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. It's actually Lucifer. O Lucifer, son of the dawn. That was his name prior to his fall. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, which means morning star, the son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. This is the first fall. You who have deceived the nations. I got my writing is so small. You who have deceived the nations. Verse 13, you said in your heart, and now we have the five I wills of Satan. You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. And here you have his objective. He is the greatest counterfeiter of all time, and he seeks to counterfeit the living and true God. That's why we have religion, all the religions of the world. He is seeking to counterfeit God. I will make myself like the Most High God. The other passage that describes the first fall of Satan is Ezekiel. So turn over to Ezekiel 28. And this is important. You begin to see in much greater detail this creature, this angel that was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was created perfect. And now you get to learn about him here. Ezekiel 28. Start of verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared, and you were anointed as the guardian cherub. He guarded the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created until arrogance was found in you. And through your widespread trade you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. This is his first fall. And I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud, arrogant, on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before King. The first fall. That's the first fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 17. Point six, the second fall of Satan. The second fall of Satan takes place in the middle of the tribulation. The second fall of Satan takes place in the middle of the tribulation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. The second fall of Satan takes place in the middle of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels, these are the elect angels, fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the second fall of Satan. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. That's the second fall of Satan. Takes place in the middle of the tribulation. Point seven, the third fall of Satan occurs at the end of the tribulation. The third fall of Satan occurs at the end of the tribulation, and it's in two parts, two phases. The third fall of Satan occurs at the end of the tribulation. It's in two phases. The first phase, he is put in prison in the abyss during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Revelation 20. The first phase of his third fall is he's put in prison in the abyss during the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth, when there is perfect environment. There is no Satan. There is no cosmic system. There is no religion. There is no deceiving of the nations. He is in prison. So, Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him. To keep him from what? To keep him from deceiving the nations. There's no deceiving of the nations in the millennial kingdom. Satan is in prison. To keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. And then after that he must be set free for a short time. So, Satan is in prison during the millennial reign of Christ. There is no Satan. There is no cosmic system during the millennial reign of Christ. There is no deceiving of the nations because there is no cosmic system. The earth will have perfect environment, perfect righteousness, perfect justice, world peace, great prosperity, and perfect health during the millennial reign of Christ. Then phase two of the third fall, he's cast into the lake of fire, and that's Revelation 20, verse 10. The second phase of the third fall, he's cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. the third fall of Satan. The one who commits sin, the one who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. That is, he has become the devil's disciple. He has become an agent of the devil because the devil has sinned from the beginning. All right, we haven't quite finished the exegesis of this. We have the rest of verse 8, and we'll pick it up at this point next Sunday, or next Thursday. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.